Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service?
Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Quit sinning. There you go. We got that all cleaned up, problem solved. Let's move on. This is Wretched Radio. Oh, if it were just that simple. The process of sanctification. It is a lifelong synergistic effort between the Holy Spirit and you. That's right. You get the power from the Holy Spirit, so he gets all the credit. But you got to work at it. You don't get credit when it comes to your salvation for being obedient. But it does take work. We are to war against sin. You and I are to strive for holiness. We're to mortify evil things. And perhaps you've heard that message a lot. Stop sinning. Knock it off. Quit doing that. Maybe those were your parents' favorite words. Hey! Don't make me tell you again. Knock it off over there. And you heard a lot of Ephesians 4:23. You say, what's Ephesians 4:23? It is the command to put off. Stop it. Don't do that anymore. You have been bought. You have been purchased. You are seen as holy. Why? Because your salvation is outside of yourself. It is secure, it is safe in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, who is currently sitting on a throne and reigning. That is certain. And now you need to begin acting the way that you are seen. That is in part what sanctification is. It's working out your salvation. It's working it. And it starts with stopping. You just got to knock it off. Stop doing it. But Ephesians 4:24 informs us that ain't enough. Not only are we to stop, we're commanded to start. 4:23, put off. Ephesians 4:24, put on. That's the put off, put on principle of biblical counseling. You stop and you start. Both of these components are needed. If you are going to grow in holiness, you need to stop and start. And by the way, if I could do an excursus on sanctification, I can't recall who I was reading, but these days you don't have to give credit to anybody anyway. Plagiarism just ain't no big whoop anymore. But it was a rather off-the-cuff comment about sanctification. It isn't just about becoming holy. It's about becoming whole. It is not just about not sinning, just doing the right thing. That's a massive part of sanctification. But it is also you becoming whole. In other words, all of the things that make you unhappy, that cause you to have regrets, that make you feel like you're a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. Those things, we need to work on those things too. You need to work on those things. You need to understand that sanctification, yeah, it is about our behavior, but it's also about our being. God wants you to be fully human. And that's experiencing the abundant life. That is having shalom. That is when things are well with your soul, no matter what is going on. So I think we would do well to remember in sanctification, it's not just about being holy. It is also about being whole. But I'm not going to go back. Pastor, the people that you're looking at on Sunday morning, they're not whole. None of us ultimately are on this side of the veil. But their sanctification, it is lacking wholeness. We have a tendency to focus on being holy, and that is right. That is a part of sanctification. But being whole is another. How can your message help them become more whole? How can your message help them realize, oh, wow, my salvation, it's secure in Christ. Yep, the kids are doing this. Yep, my spouse did that. Oof, the career trajectory I'm on, it ain't what I want it to be, but I'm whole. It is good because all of the aspects of my life are that matter are in place. The things that matter are in place. And incidentally, if you're an individual who is hearing this and going, oh, I've been overlooking that. In fact, right now I'm feeling spiritually malnourished. Had a chance to preach on this Sunday, talking about Jesus, the bread from heaven. If you're not spiritually strong at the moment, here's your part of the deal. You need to consume more bread. Not the stuff you get served at the table. You might want to cut back on that. The carbs are crazy in bread. I'm talking about Jesus. You need to consume Jesus. If you want to become more whole, that is the solution. It is imbibing, breathing the air of Jesus Christ, consuming him. How do you do that? How do you consume that heavenly bread? Jesus tells us, Matthew chapter 4, you can't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, you need to consume the word. If you're lacking in wholeness, you're hurting, you're still scarred, maybe you're still working on that root of bitterness, regrets, you have a few and that you'd rather not mention. How do you get past that? What about the sins that you committed that you still just feel, well, dirty from? Well, first of all, you need to know you're not dirty anymore, but you need to consume heavenly bread. You need to dwell on things that are pure, lovely, and worthy of praise. You need to stare at Jesus with unveiled face. You will then be transformed from one level of glory to another. You need to change your diet. And there's so many ways that you can do that. But sometimes it takes a commitment. Your spiritual wholeness, it all revolves around the word. Consuming heavenly bread. Studying Jesus. And I know what you're maybe thinking. I'm not in the mood for that kind of bread. I struggle to consume that kind of bread. Well, here's what you need to do. This is very complicated. Eat that bread. You say, but I'm telling you, I don't feel like it. And I'm telling you, you'll feel like it when you start doing it. That's how it works. If you're not excited about reading your Bible, start reading your Bible. You'll grow in your excitement. You say, church, ooh, all of those people. Start going to church. You'll start loving those people. But you got to change your diet, which means you need to start with changing your mind, perhaps, about some things. You have to believe that what will make you whole is being obedient to the prescription that your good physician has written for you. You got to consume the word. You've got to consume the word. You just got to, this is, okay, overused illustration. You got a headache. You tell somebody you got it. No, better yet, I meet you and I say, I've got a headache. And you say, you need to take a couple of Tylenol. I don't like swallowing Tylenol. Well, you want to get over your headache? Yeah, but I just don't like Tylenol. Well, you need to take Tylenol to get over your headache. Take it and you'll get over it. But I don't feel like it. What would you think? You would say, hey, knucklehead, this is the cure. And that is the cure that you need to believe will make you more whole. Consuming bread from heaven as revealed in his word. That means reading your Bible. That means going to church. That means being immersed in your church. That means making your best friends the people that you spend 90 minutes with on Sunday morning, unless, of course, you're Lutheran, then 40 minutes. That's the environment that we need for wholeness, fellowship, consuming the word, consuming actual physical bread, a tactile experience of the gospel. We need to consume more Jesus, and we will be increasingly whole, because that is a big aspect that is often missing from sanctification. But we return now to the part of sanctification that most of us are probably most familiar with, getting holier, getting better, doing doing better. All right, how do you do that? Well, it starts with put off. You do need to stop, but that isn't the totality of sanctification. You need to start doing other things. Dr. Greg Gifford, man, I'm telling you, this guy's hitting it out of the park. His Transform podcast, talking about the subject of putting off, putting on, and the whole in your holiness, which is a really good Kevin DeYoung book, by the way. You got a hole in your holiness. You can't seem to be getting better. You can't curb that tongue. You can't keep that anger from bubbling out. And you try. I've been trying to stop it. Okay, that's good. don't hear that. You need to overlook that. You do need to stop. But that is not the full formula. For full potency in becoming more holy, you need to replace the things that you were doing that were wrong with the things that are right, which is why, despite the fact that I know sometimes some people perhaps get agitated with me, we're going to listen to Greg Gifford's presentation on this subject of putting off and putting on, and I'm telling you, it's going to help you. Next on Wretched Radio. There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Masters Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Masters Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
We all know life is tough sometimes, right? We all deal with stuff, stress, worry, depression. It's just a part of being human. But what if there was a way to look at these struggles differently? Well, that's what Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford is all about. It's not your usual radio show. No, Dr. Gifford talks about real issues, you know, the kind we all face. And he doesn't just talk about them, he brings biblical clarity to them. So whether you're dealing with anxiety or feelings of loneliness, or you're just trying to figure things out, I highly recommend Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's not about quick fixes or empty promises. It's just honest talk about life and how to navigate it biblically. If you're curious, why not give it a try? Give it a listen right now. New episodes come out every Saturday morning. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or transform.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. From brokenness to wholeness.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies, the war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1549. Archbishop Thomas Cranmer produces the Book of Common Prayer for the Church of England. Henry VIII created the Anglican Church as a mirror of the Catholic Church, but the Book of Common Prayer helped to mold the Church of England into a Protestant church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Maybe new math isn't so bad. After all, this is Wretched Radio, new math, numbers. Schmumbers! You can arrive at different answers, and everybody's right in math these days. Oh, that were true for Bible verses. I was saying Ephesians 4:23. Okay, fine, it's Ephesians 4:22. Missed it by this much. What is Ephesians 4:22? Put off. Stop doing stuff. Put off. Concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Then it's verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then verse 24, and put on the new man. That is the formula for sanctification, not just in mortifying sin, but in becoming whole. Not just holy, but also whole. Dr. Greg Gifford, in his magnificent Transform podcast, this is just too fine to not share in totality. This is just one segment. If you're not listening to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, this is what you're going to be missing. He's talking about sanctification, not just putting off, but also putting on, which is exactly where verse 25, if you believe in numbers, verse 25 of Ephesians 4 begins. Take it away, Dr. Gifford.
All right, therefore, put away falsehood and speak the truth with your neighbor. Put away falsehood, speak the truth. What are you called to put off here? Falsehood. And what are you called to put on? Speaking the truth. So if you're struggling with being a person who lies or speaks falsehood or twists the truth, then I want you to see that you have a specific put on. The put on is not to take a vow of silence. The put on is not to, in some way, go for a long walk, come back, and never talk to anybody again. You're a monk now, or a monkess, whatever the female version of a monk is. When you are struggling with lying, you actually need to put off lying and put on speaking the truth. Another example, verse 26, be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Put off unrighteous anger. If you're a person who struggles with being angry in a sinful way, you're called to put it off. And what are you to put on? You are to put on righteous anger. So what's the put on and put off? You're seeing it right here in the scripture. Again, let the thief no longer steal, verse 28. Put off stealing. It's not enough to just stop stealing, by the way. Maybe you're in jail and there's nothing to steal at this point. What are you called to actually do? Well, you repent of stealing and you put on hard work, honest work. That's verse 28. So what's the point? There are prescribed put-ons here. Falsehood, anger, stealing, corrupting communication, all of those have a counter to it. One of my mentors, and I have the privilege of calling him a friend, his name is Dr. Ernie Baker, he said that typically a put on is the opposite of whatever the put off is. So let's try to work through just a couple of examples that are not found here in the text. So when you repent of something and you put it off, don't just stop there. Actually put on steps of obedience. So if you're struggling with complaining, what might the put on be? Think about that for a second. If you're struggling with complaining, what might the put on be? Okay, I repent of complaining. Philippians 2, grumbling and complaining are sinful. I repent of it. I put it off. What should I put on? Thankfulness, gratitude. Actually say, Lord, please forgive me for grumbling in my heart today. Thank you for the provisions that you've offered to me, or thank you for the ways that I've seen you work in my life. I am truly grateful, and I'm sorry to have not seen that. Give thanks in all circumstances. So if you're struggling with grumbling and complaining, and some of you work in awful work environments, and I don't want to minimize the temptation that you might have to complaining, what has God called you to do to put that off and to put on gratitude? So instead of complaining about your boss and how lame they are, say, Lord, thank you for my boss. You are using them. They have certain gifts that are actually helpful to our organization. Thank you. May you be honored in the way I think about my boss. In Jesus' name, amen. Boom, done. And you've just done the process of change. I also want to give you things like drinking. So if we used the actions of your life, think of drinking as an example of actions. Okay, so we would say, all right, you want to put off drinking. So if you're going to stop drinking, then what are you actually going to start doing? Well, instead of using that time at the bar, I'm going to serve at my local church. Okay, instead of buying that six pack and bringing it home, I'm now actually going to bring groceries to someone else and put on serving other people. So instead of just saying stop drinking and you're sitting in the bar and you're going, I'm so thirsty, you would start to actually put on actions that honor the Lord. So when you start to think this way, guys, what happens is it, no pun intended, it transforms your life. Because you say, I must put off actions that are dishonoring to the Lord and put on actions that are honoring to the Lord. If I'm struggling with anxious thoughts, then what do I need to put on? If you tell me, and this is maybe just a Greg thing, if you tell me, hey, Dr. Gifford, stop being anxious, that is not helpful. I'm never like, oh, wow, never thought of that one. Thank you. I'm like, I know I should stop being anxious. And how do I do that? I have to put on thoughts about the sovereignty of God or the goodness of God or His wisdom. Put off anxious thoughts and put on thoughts about God's bigness and God's goodness in your life. Number one, repent of something and put on steps of obedience to the Lord. Number two, make your specific steps concrete or measurable. Don't make them generic. Remember I said last episode that sometimes what happens is we will repent in very generic ways. Lord, help me not to be so prideful, which is true. Everyone should pray that prayer, but what is the specific manifestation of your pride? Lord, I think I'm better than so-and-so, and that's why they annoy me so much. I see them as being dumb. Okay, now what are we called to put on? Help me to think more highly of so-and-so as an image bearer, not as a nuisance in my life. You have created them, they have gifts, and they are perfect in your sight. That's something to renew your mind with. But if you just stay at the generic level of, I need to put off pride and put on love, then I actually think you're not going to change in any meaningful way. You see, we don't change in abstract land. We don't change in fuzzy land, Dr. Street would say. We change with concrete examples and concrete steps. And I find the more concrete you can make your put-ons, the more helpful they are to you. The more concrete and specific, the more measurable, the more actionable they are. So when you do that, have a concrete step. Lord, I am tempted to be anxious right now about my finances. Help me to trust you with my finances. I know you are the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Help me to trust that you will provide for me as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, think of this, parents. This is something that I encourage you to incorporate into your parenting style. Some of us have a very unilateral, one-dimensional parenting style with our kids. Stop yelling at your brother. Stop touching that. And we often tell our kids what not to do, but we don't often give them a practical what you should do. So if your child is wrestling with a disrespectful heart, what are some put-ons you can encourage them to take? If your child is wrestling with a selfish heart, what are ways you can help them put on serving other people? And explain exactly what you're doing. Hey, you need to put off that attitude and you need to put on an attitude like this. This is what the Bible calls us to do. And that doesn't mean that they have miraculously been changed, but they're at least learning that when they are struggling and sinning against the Lord, that they can change and that there are practical things to pursue when so doing. So in my house, and my boys can ratify this, if they get too mean with each other, one of the things that I say is, all right, boys, I want you to give me three things that you're thankful for about the other person. And they're like, oh, no. And that's important because what it does is instead of just saying, hey, stop making fun of each other, I'm saying, hey, I want you to give thanks for the other person now. So go ahead. Three things. What you got? So what have I said so far? Number one, when you repent of something, don't just stop there. Put on steps of obedience. Number two, make those steps concrete and specific. Number three, teach your kids to do the same. Help them to learn how to put on certain steps. Okay, number four, when you do this long enough, this just simply becomes who you are. which is why I am leaving Be Renewed for last. I actually think that you put off and put on long enough that the put on is just your response now. That God has actually changed you and he's used your spirit-filled obedience to help do that. So you are renewed. You're not as anxious. You're not struggling with grumbling as much. You're not struggling with anger as much. Why? Because you have put on the steps in the scripture that call you to obeying the Lord. So do this and watch how the struggle of the put-offs actually diminish and lessen.
Told you that was fine. Dr. Greg Gifford, Transform Podcast. He will help you grow in holiness. You'll find it Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you do that podcasting business. Put off, but don't forget to put on. And you will grow in holiness. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg has finally come clean about something the rest of us already knew. That's the pressure his company faced from the Biden administration to censor certain content. In a letter to House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, Zuckerberg admitted that in 2021, senior officials from the White House repeatedly pressed Meta to remove COVID-19 related content, including humor and satire. I mean, laughter, that's the best medicine, right? Oh, wait a minute, we're talking about COVID. Yeah, we've got to trust the experts there, don't we? Zuckerberg went on to express regret for not being more outspoken about the pressure at the time, stating, quote, "I believe the government pressure was wrong." Yeah, say less, Mark. He also acknowledged his company's mistake in temporarily demoting a New York Post story about Hunter Biden's laptop during the 2020 election. In other news, the Florida Supreme Court has upheld the inclusion of a financial risk warning as part of a state ballot question that could make abortion a constitutional right in the Sunshine State. The court ruled 6-1 that the warning, which states the amendment could result in significantly more abortions and fewer live births per year in Florida, can remain. One of the chief justices, in his majority opinion, noted that the plaintiffs, quote, "actively participated in the estimating conference process that they now challenge." You know what this is like? It's like showing up to a potluck. You bring your favorite dish and then you start complaining about the menu. Can't have your cake and eat it too, folks. Moving on to military matters, where a Christian infantry officer was reportedly subjected to an investigation, lost his position, and forced to retire after expressing his beliefs on social media. His grievous offense? Well, he disagreed with racial gender ideology and expressed concern about drag queen events in schools. And apparently, in the military today, it's more acceptable to dress in drag than protect your country. The officer made the comments as a private citizen, not while on duty, but a gay enlisted infantryman felt threatened by his posts, claiming they created an uncomfortable, unsafe, and hostile work environment. You know, there is no more evidence that a person is ready to protect and serve our country like being upset by someone else's Facebook posts. And lastly, Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign is making waves with its job application process. Do you want to work for the Harris campaign? Well, if you do, there's a smorgasbord of pronoun options, including Z, Zim, Z, Her, Fay, Fi. I don't even know how to read these words, but hey, look, you're qualified for this job if you can identify as a mythical woodland creature. You are more than qualified for it. And hey, look, who needs a coherent platform, which doesn't exist in the Harris campaign, when you've got a diverse set of pronouns you're working with? And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means "the Lord comforts," brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes: repentance or destruction. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can we talk? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, do you even know to whom I'm imitate? To whom I'm imitate? Do you know who that was? Can we talk?
I do, Joan Rivers.
How old are you? Exactly.
I watched a lot of TV.
I had to Google something to, you know, just to sound contemporary and hip like a mega church. Came up with Joan Rivers. That was kind of one of her catch lines. Can we talk? And then she was like Phyllis Diller. She had a husband. Didn't she always talk about it? Okay, so Phyllis Diller was her husband, Fang, which I always thought was kind of weird. But what was Joan Rivers' husband's name? He committed suicide. I met Joan Rivers after her husband committed suicide. I think it was probably 2 years after, and it was palpable. She was still stung. Was it Edward or something like, it was a Jewish fellow, I think, and he committed suicide, and she was so deeply scarred from it. It was a really powerful example of when somebody is so hurting, that when somebody is so distressed that they think the best option for ending their pain is to take their own life, they need to think of Joan Rivers, because all you do with all of that pain is transfer it to the people you love. You leave behind the gift of misery. It is one of those life events that alters the trajectory of the rest of your life. If you're thinking about ending yours, please don't. That's just one reason. God wants you to live. God wants you to do really eternal, deep, profound, monumental things for Him. And it's not too late. It's really not too late. Was talking to a buddy who was counseling a couple who were living acrimoniously, really they were like the honeymooners all the time. It was just a row all the time. And his encouragement was, hey, I know this has been going on for years, and you don't think that there is any hope for changing this. How's about making the last chapter of your life the best chapter? Oh, that's so positive, isn't it? However many years you've got left, you can make those years that mean something eternally. It is not as bleak as you think it is. It is not as hopeless as you think it is. You've got the God who feeds thousands of people ex nihilo. You've got a God who created a universe out of nothing. He can get engaged in your situation and fix it. Make it better. And He's provided tools that you can touch and see. The local church. If your marriage is lousy and you think there's no hope, if your situation in life is lousy and you think, oh, this ain't going nowhere, get to your local church and just say, I need some help. And don't think for a second that at a good Bible teaching church, anybody's going to go, oh, wow, what? You've got struggles in your marriage. Life is hard for you. Well, we can't imagine that around here, but I guess we can get you some literature. No, they're going to get it, and they're going to realize that this side of the fall, there is sin, and life is hard, and there's thorns, and there's thistles. They'll get it, and they'll help you, because God can turn marriages around, and He can turn your life around. Don't take your life. And don't end your marriage. What was the name of her husband, Jimmy?
Edgar Rosenberg.
Edgar. That's right. Oh, I Todd, we didn't ask for Joan Rivers' details. Well, here it is. She was supposed to be speaking. And I was watching her go to the stage to give her speech on surviving after the death of her husband. This is 2 years after the fact. That is what she was booked for. That was the contract. That's what she was to deliver in order to get paid. And she walked out. This was her first appearance in a couple of years. And she did stand-up comedy. And when it was done, I said, that was nice, but, you know, the agreement was that you were to talk about your husband. And she said, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. 2 years later. Please don't take your life. And now, can we talk specifically about a subject that I know might be a little sensitive, but nevertheless, I would like to see if we can reason together. Please note, I'm not a wound-up conservative political talk show host. I'm not saying that you are stupid. I'm not suggesting that you're foolish or that you're sinning. I would simply like to reason with you regarding the November election. After J.D. Vance on Meet the Press on Sunday, we discussed this earlier on Wretched. He said that Donald Trump would absolutely veto any national legislation outlawing abortion. A federal ban on abortion, he would not sign that into law. Crush. So every evangelical should have felt that. And so many people decided, that's it. I am going to disengage from the political process. Can we talk about that for a moment? The reality about the life issue is that it is still an issue. The reality that the Republican Party is moving rapidly more centrist on the issue and crossing over into the realm of being pro-abortion, they are still not as wildly pro-abortion as the Democratic Party. And that means there are still real human lives on the line. And the same reason that you were perhaps willing to vote for the party that was pro-life, I think are the same reasons that you should still vote in November. Because the party that gets in, there will be more lives that are saved or taken. No, it's not good. And I understand that you would be feeling like I'm siding with evil. That's just so sub-Christian. Oh, I agree with you totally on that. But that doesn't mean that your vote or lack thereof can't potentially save lives. Another reason, I think, that if you're an evangelical, and believe me, I feel you, you're gonna go in there in November and you're gonna, I feel dirty for this. Ah, and they're so squishy on the marriage issue. I get it. But I think Dr. Walker, when we talked to him yesterday on Wretched Radio, I think his point was spot on and so helpful. The Republican Party isn't seeking to do evil. They're not warring against it like we want them to. They're not leading as they should. And we need to call them to repentance for that. But they're not seeking to perform more abortions or to distribute more abortifacient medicine. They're let's just say, less willing to do those things. All right, that's going to have an impact. When they become aggressive, when they start promoting, well, at what point do you say can't do that because you are actually siding with evil? We'll have that conversation, I fear, someday. But in the meantime, here we are. Your vote will make a difference. And I'm not doing this because I'm a politico. If you've listened to this program for more than a minute, you know that. It's not our bag. We talk about theology and Jesus Christ here. But we talk about things that also impact human beings. And we are called to try to save those who are being slaughtered. And I think you can still do that. I think you can still do that with your vote. Second reason I would encourage you to consider engaging in the political process and voting is this, that some of these issues, they do affect human beings. If you want to see people doing better, which party will promote more better? Now, please note, the abortion issue is still looming large. But what policies will help people perhaps not struggle as much, be able to live a higher quality of life? Which party will do that? So your vote can impact that. Even though that's not the life issue per se, it's still an anthropology issue. That one of these parties is going to be better for people than the others. There's a third reason I would encourage you to consider not abandoning the privilege of voting because of what we heard from J.D. Vance. And once again, this is an anthropology issue. Which party will promote more liberty for human flourishing? Yeah, I'm talking about religious liberty too. I'm talking about the liberty to go where you want, do what you want, speak what you want, practice your religion the way that you want. Which party will advance those anthropological issues more. Which means if you affirm, yeah, I think there's one that would do that more than the other, then you can make a difference. I sure wouldn't break fellowship with you, my dear brother and sister, if you disagree with it. I get it. I'm just hoping that you'll consider it. This is Wretched Radio.
All right, folks, gather around, listen up, because if you're looking to get transformed and save some serious money, and let's be honest, who isn't these days with Biden inflation making everything so ridiculously high? Well, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century at the Wretched Store. We bundled just about everything we could find to save you some money. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, seasons 1-3. Originally priced at $134.94, we've slashed that to $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, seasons 1-4, originally priced at $179.92, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, seasons 1-2, originally priced at $89.96, now just $29.99. That's right, binge watch all your favorite resources for a fraction of the price. Head over to the Wretched store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, the other day I was talking to a friend of mine about how a single spark can start an entire wildfire. And it got me to thinking about you, our listeners. Each one of you is like that spark. You have the potential to ignite a blaze of the gospel. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, that's a great analogy, Jimmy. Yeah, not so much. But here's the thing. We've been fanning those gospel flames together for a while now, and it's been absolutely incredible. But imagine what we could do if we joined forces even more. That's what becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner is like. It's like adding fuel to the fire, and suddenly that spark becomes this roaring blaze. Yeah, I'm not going to let it go. That reaches millions with the life-changing message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you say? Are you ready to turn up the heat? Told you I'm not going to let it go on this gospel mission. Just visit wretched.org/donate and get answers to any questions you could possibly have. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not either or, both. This is Wretched Radio. Question. You receive a phone call, which you don't answer, so now they have to text you because who uses their phone for talking these days? And it turns out you have been invited to interview J.D. Vance. No doubt your heart sank a lot when you heard him say definitively that the Trump administration would not sign a federal ban against abortion. Oh, you get the text. Would you like to interview the man who made that statement? Question, what would you ask him? What would be your line of questioning? You might be inclined to ask him about his statements about the life issue. If I were invited, hold on just one second. That ain't gonna happen. But if I were invited to interview J.D. Vance, I would actually ask him about His evangelical conversion story. You say, what does that have to do with the life issue? I say everything. He once made a profession of faith as an evangelical, but clearly he wasn't. Why? Because now he's a practicing Roman Catholic, which means he was never among us in the first place, which means J.D. Vance was yet another false convert. And I would like to understand why. Why? What happened? How did you understand the gospel? Do you understand the nature of the gospel? What is the core? What is the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ about? And I suspect he would give a muddy answer at best. Most likely, it would be entirely bereft of what the gospel actually is. The gospel is judicial. The gospel is about laws and righteousness and holiness and lawbreakers and what justice demands of those criminals. Punishment, paying for your crimes against God. That's the first half of the gospel. You're a lawbreaker. The second half is Jesus is a lawkeeper who died for lawbreakers so that we could have everlasting life. That is the gospel. It is judicial by nature. And I suspect the reason that we see so many false converts these days is because we have removed any of the difficult bits of the gospel. I think that I know we have, myself included. Myself included. The world has pressured us into speaking a politically correct way. We got to be careful. We don't offend anybody. And of course, we don't want to be offensive. But the reality is the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive when you preach it in its totality. And I would like to just suggest possibly maybe in our evangelistic efforts and in our pulpit preaching, we remember there's really two messages of the gospel. There's law, there's gospel. There's crime, there is punishment, and there is forgiveness and everlasting life. There is bad news, there is good news. And I wonder if we maybe need to just turn up the heat a little bit on the bad news component, because so often we don't want to make people feel bad. They might not come back to church. And so we've stopped. Well, I'll just call it what it is, hellfire preaching. Now, please note, I really do understand that we can't be locked into a century when it comes to proclaiming the gospel. I think Jesus gave us this permission in the seventh parable of the seven kingdom parables in Matthew 13, that the man of the house, who's he goes to a treasure chest and he brings out both old and new. The understanding of that parable, I believe, is you've got to have any new teaching grounded in the old. So what's new teaching? Changing it? Oh, no, absolutely not changing it because it's grounded in the old. It's just a way of presenting it for a contemporary audience. Oh, okay, I see it, which means we don't want to be locked into a century when it comes to preaching and evangelizing, but it does need to be connected to the old, which is the two messages of the gospel, law and gospel, judgment and mercy. And we need to do that in a 21st century way, but maybe, just maybe, we need to listen to the voices of old. How did they used to preach about hell? Well, I happen to hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers one such sermon. This is from Grace Gems. Please note, I'm not saying this is how you need to evangelize and this is how you need to preach, but this is how they used to preach. And we saw a different society, didn't we? Always false converts. Make no mistake about it. Always false converts. But let's be honest. We have seen a radical decrease in Christian professions, baptisms, genuine conversions than we did when we were preaching like this. Quote, "The sins of the unrepentant, unbelieving, and unpardoned will follow them into eternity, and will confront them as witnesses in the great day of judgment when the secrets of all hearts will be revealed." And then follows the remorse and anguish, the undying worm and the unquenchable fire, even that cup that is full mixture, the dregs thereof of all the wicked of the earth shall wring out and drink them. Oh, you trifler and you scorner And you procrastinator and you despiser and rejecter of the man of sorrows, you may laugh now, but the days of your sorrow are to come. Better, infinitely better, be a mourner for sin all your days and go weeping tears of godly sorrow to your grave than be merry now with a carnal, worldly, sinful merriment and hereafter gnaw your chains in bitter and eternal anguish. Whew. Now, I know that I'm saying that kind of sternly in a kind of a puritanical way. I don't think there's any other way to say that. Again, please note, please remember the preamble. Not saying we got to do this, but have we perhaps overcorrected? Can you say this anyway? Oh, you trifler. You scorner. Procrastinator. And you despiser and rejecter of the man of sorrows. This was stern preaching. This was severe preaching. And I don't think that we need to preach it as if we're Puritans in a pulpit railing at people. But I wonder if one of the reasons that we are seeing the state of Christendom and the state of our nation as it is today is because we fully abandoned this type of preaching and teaching. On the other hand, there is another element of preaching that I think is missing these days. Tim Challies wrote an article very recently. One sure way to make sure you're preaching a sermon, not leading a Bible study. He talks about the difference between teaching and preaching. Teaching is downloading information. Preaching is logic on fire. It's having some rah to it. And he gives an example of this. And I thought it was beautiful. And I think our preaching needs to contain this also. It's not an either or. It's a both and sort of affair. He's talking about the structuring of a sermon. Make each point an imperative. Or just work the word you into the outline. And that moves it from information to application. And why do I think this component of preaching and evangelism is important too? It is to show what you get in Christ. Yes, you get forgiveness of sins. Yes, you get saved from the wrath that is to come. But wow, the treasures that await you. We don't want them to come seeking the gifts and not the giver. So we got to watch out for that. But this is a way for preaching and maybe evangelism to be glory, to paint a picture of Christ that is awesome. So this is from the book of Exodus, the death of the Egyptians' firstborn sons and the Egyptians pleading with Israel to leave. How would you outline that? Well, here's an outline. 1, God warns Egypt. 2, God protects his people. 3, God punishes Egypt. 4, God frees his people. 5, God preserves his people. That's a good outline. But Challies says, turn it into an imperative. And here's how he did it. Listen to the difference. So instead of saying God warns Egypt, go with God or judgment awaits. 2, God protects his people. Change it to go with God and stay safe. Hear the difference? 3, God punishes Egypt. Replace that with go with God or judgment comes. God frees his people. Go with God and be released from your slavery. 5, God preserves his people. Go with God and live life anew. Hear the difference? This is preaching that has its eye, yes, on the text. Yes, on our shortcomings, but also on how magnificent it is to be hidden in Christ. You get all the good things that are to be had in the person of Jesus Christ. That preaching, too, is often lacking. We've too often turned it into didactics, mere teaching, just data downloads, dumping all over people, facts and figures and how a clam makes a pearl when we should be talking about Jesus, the pearl of great price. Maybe, just maybe, all of us would do well to examine how we're presenting the gospel, whether it's to our kids, whether it's in evangelism, whether it's from the pulpit, or whether it is to ourselves. Law and the glorious gospel, not either or, both. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.